God was right. He told me his plans, and I was in awe. I couldn't wait to tell the people they had nothing to worry about. God's in control. I just have to help them see it.
Well, good evening, Life Church. Welcome. Glad you're here. My name is Matty B, and excited to be here. I'm my wife and I are the pastors of Celebrate Recovery. It meets here on Tuesday nights, and glad to be here on Thursday night with you. We're in a series titled Big God, and we're working through the book of Habakkuk. And really what we're doing is we're recognizing that God is writing a story for our life, a noble story. And sometimes to get there, we've got some pain and some struggle that we have to walk through. And you know, God has a story for your life, and it is going to be fulfilled with purpose and joy. The only question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that God is involved? Do you believe that he has his hands in it, that he does have good plans for you? Well, he does. And this is a process, you know, this is a journey, not a destination, because life is going to hand us stuff that we're going to have to continually strive to get closer to God and to trust him. And we're going to have to keep going, even though when things don't seem like it on the outside, things aren't looking good, things aren't going our way, that we're going to have to embrace God. So I hope today we leave here understanding how good our God is, that he uses our pain and our struggle and the messes of our life to help us, and that he does have good plans for us through that. And also how to embrace God's goodness, when things aren't going our way. And that's what we're going to learn today. So let's pray and get started. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you that you've brought us here together in your name, God. We worshiped you with music earlier, and today we just pray for you to speak to us through this message, that you help us see something different. Help us see your goodness, God, that you change us, that we experience you, that we leave here different than we came. Amen. Well, we're on the third and last chapter of Habakkuk. If you would open up your Bibles to chapter 3. That's on page 713 in your Bibles. Now, I don't know, are there any roller coaster lovers here? Anybody that likes roller coasters? Yeah. Well, we took our two youngest kids to Storyland this summer. Silas and Sadie, they're 4 and 2. And they had a great time. It's a great place for them. It's exciting. And Silas was pumped up, fired up, excited to go on the big roller coaster there. He just made the 42-inch limit, so he's ready to go. Right? And he's excited. We get in there, we get strapped in this thing, and 3, 2, 1, you're off, right? And it's going pretty good. It's a pretty good one. And I look down at Silas, and he's got a total look of terror on his face. I mean, he was holding it together pretty good, but he was holding on for dear life. And he was terrified and scared. Well, this thing lasts maybe, I don't know, 60 seconds, and we finally come to a complete safe stop, and he's able to grip his hands off the thing, right? And we get out, and he says, "Daddy, I did it! I did it! I can do roller coasters now!" And he's all excited and happy. And I said, "Awesome, bud. You want to do it again? That was fun." He's, "Not right now, Dad. We'll maybe later, right?" But while you're on this thing, they snap a photo, and I don't know if we can see here. This Silas going through a little dip in his life right there. Now, that's not a big smile on his face. That's the look of terror of a 4-year-old. No children are harmed in this, don't worry. Now, the roller coaster of life can send you some pretty scary, steep dips, right? But if we know that God is right there with us, we're going to make it. We can get through. If we understand that God's hands are involved, that he's laying the tracks in front of us, we're going to be okay. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And there really isn't anybody better than Habakkuk that we can look at for this. Because he's all about embracing the struggle and embracing God. Even though things on the outside aren't looking good, he's embracing God. Like the story of Jacob that Pastor Brian reminded us of a couple weeks ago. Jacob wrestled with God, embraced God all night long. He wouldn't let go. God's trying to leave, and he wouldn't let go of him. And it says in the Bible that God touched his hip, and that he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. His life was changed. Well, sometimes the best thing that can happen is God puts a little hitch in your giddy up, you know? He adds a little pain or struggle to your life that changes your name and reroutes your destiny. And from that day forward, Jacob was known as Israel, and he found great blessing through the struggle. Now, last we left him, Habakkuk was on the watchtower. He was waiting and listening for God. And that's a wise place to be. That's a good place to be, listening for God. And God spoke to him. He said, I'm doing big things here. I've got good plans. I know you don't see what I'm doing, and I know I'm not answering the prayers the way you want me to, but I've got big plans, and everybody's going to see my glory. Believe it. And he said this. He said, write it down. He said, write it down, record it, carve it in stone if you have to, so that 2,600 years from now, the people of Life Church will be blessed by it. And this is what he says. He says, the righteous shall live by faith. He's saying, trust me, even when you don't want to, trust me, have faith in me. And so having heard from God, Habakkuk is going to see something from God that changes his life. And even though things on the outside aren't getting any better, even though, you know, what he sees, he doesn't necessarily believe, but he still continues to embrace God. And it changes, and when he sees God, that's what changes his life. So let's look at that. Let's look at this chapter ourselves here. Let's read it for ourselves. Chapter 3. It's on page 713 in your pew Bible. Chapter 3, verse 1. This prayer was sung by the prophet of Habakkuk. And in some translations, there's a word, Shigionoth, after that. You can see down in the footnotes, Shigionoth. We'll get back to how that influences the story, but basically it's a genre of music, okay? So what we're about to read is a prayer that's sung by Habakkuk. Okay, verse 2. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And remember anger, and in your anger, remember mercy. So he's looking back and he's saying, God, I know what you can do. I know what you're capable of, but you're not doing it right now. Where are you, God? We need you right now. We need you, God. Verse 3, I see God moving across the deserts of Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. His coming is as brilliant as a sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands where his awesome power is hidden. And he continues to paint this picture of all the amazing things that God has done. He's triggering these memories and thoughts of all the stuff that God has done, and he's remembering. He's going back and remembering what God has done. Let's skip through a few of these. Verse 6, when he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. I like that one. You ever get the look from mom when you were up to no good? Yeah, my wife Erin looks and those kids tremble. Not so much. Maddie B trembles when Erin looks, so believe that. Flip the page to verse 11. The sun and the moon stood still in the sky as your brilliant arrows flew and your glittering spears flashed. Remember that story? When God made the sun stand still, he answered Joshua's prayer so that they could continue to fight their battle. He kept the lights on so they could continue to fight and defeat their enemies. God made the sun stand still. Verse 15, you trampled the sea with your horses, and the mighty water piled high, talking about parting the Red Sea. See, Habakkuk goes back and he's reminding himself of all the good things that God did, the amazing miracles that God did, all the good stuff that God has done. He's reminding himself, triggering these memories, and while he's triggering these memories, he's actually experiencing God in that moment. He's seeing God right in front of him, that the story being written is much bigger than what he, you know, the things that he sees, the physical things that he sees. And lots of things can trigger memories, right? I mean, we've got this, my favorite place I love to go fishing, this place that we bring the kids sometimes. And every time I go there, it brings back memories of me fishing with my dad, swimming in the river, having a good time, right? Or what about a song comes on the radio? It triggers a memory, brings you right back to that time. When Pastor Tom hears Stairway to Heaven, every time it brings him back to those hairband days and those face-melting solos. What about those memories in your newsfeed that come up? Those pictures, don't they bring you right back to that time and that moment? Well, I hope you have, do you have some things that you can remember that God did in your life that changed your life? Those things that happened for a reason and it changed your story. Maybe added a different chapter to the book. For me, drug addiction, alcoholism, obviously God pulled me out of that and can use that to help others. That's something I can remember. But there's some other things, that specific things that God just moved in me that I have in my heart. When I first started coming to this church, there was an artist here, John Waller, and he sang this song, "As for Me and My House." And when he sang that, he talked about addiction and depression, and it changed me. You know, God opened my heart, and I just was overcome with worship of God, and it changed my life. That song changed my life. I remember when our daughter Sadie was born. She was born C-section. She came out, and her oxygen levels weren't quite right, and they rushed her off to this side table, and they are huddled around her with all these doctors, and they brought in these other doctors, and it seemed like forever, and she was getting darker purple and darker purple, and I just whispered to myself, "Please, God." And in an instant, everything changed. She perfectly pink, you know, and she was perfectly fine. I'm not saying God saved my daughter that day, but he spoke to me in that moment. I remember a friend of ours, Adam and Carrie Lee, Carrie Lee got in a fender bender, a minor fender bender, and it changed the trajectory of their marriage. One thing that happened that, you know, was just piled on to the mess of all the other stuff that was going on changed everything. And I can't be, I'm filled with joy and amazement just thinking about how God could use that to change their life. And what their marriage is today is absolutely amazing. There are people in CR that their life is completely changed. And only God could have done that. And I see that. Only God could have done that. And if you asked any one of those families, they would tell you, if you asked them about the pain and the struggle, they would tell you, yeah, it hurt. It wasn't fun. But looking back, it changed me. It made me into the person that I am. I hope you have these stories in your life of other people and how God has made the miracles in other people's worlds and their stories. I hope you have those in your heart. I hope you're in a small group or a life group where you can actually connect with people and see these miracles, see these stories, and hold on to them. I hope it's part of your story. You know, it doesn't always happen on Sundays. You know, real connections happen when you're doing life together. That's the theme of life groups, right? Well, I hope you have those stories in your heart so that when you're struggling and going through some pain, you can reach out to God and know exactly what he's done. Because it's difficult to know what God can do if you don't know what he's done. So I have all these stories in my heart of how God has changed people. And I can look back and say, "God, you did this, you did that. Look how great you are. What amazing God you are." You know, it's like going to your favorite restaurant, right? When you know the menu by heart, it's easy to order, right? I mean, Aaron and I, we don't get out to restaurants much. I mean, with my four crazy kids, my blood pressure and my wallet can't take too much of that. So honestly, most of our restaurant experiences start with rolling down the window and ordering by number, if you know what I mean. But if we do get the rare chance of going somewhere new, I'm the one frantically looking through the menu to find something to eat and make sure the kids know what they eat. Erin always knows what she wants. And then we keep going. I'm trying to get everything ready because when that waitress or waiter comes back, I want to be able to order right then because we're on mission here. We're on food because Sadie's about to throw something. Somebody's about to scream and Daddy's got to eat. But when we go to Applebee's or G-Hop or Mickey D's, ordering's easy. I already know what I want. I know that menu by heart. G-Hop, by the way. Chicken Salvaki has got to be the best sandwich in the world. If you haven't had one, you got to have one. Where was I here? Oh, Habakkuk. Habakkuk knows this memory by heart, right? He knows this by heart. He knows this menu by heart. And so do we. When we have this in our heart, we can call on that. When we're struggling with God, we need to call on that. So what do you do when you're in a dip? What do you do when things aren't going your way? How do you embrace God when things aren't going your way? We're going to look at three things that Habakkuk does that we can directly apply to our lives. And the first one is, remember what God has done. You can write that down in your notes. Remember what God has done. I remember God. I remember your glory. I remember your goodness. I remember when you did this. I remember. So what do you do? The second thing we're going to look at is accept what God is doing. Accept what God is doing. When you're going through a dip, sometimes you just have to accept that you're going through a dip. But sometimes some of these things can come out of nowhere, right? I mean, a death, an accident, a secret suddenly comes to light, or a diagnosis. You know, and a friend of ours, she was diagnosed with cancer. And she was overcome with, you know, it was devastating, obviously, knowing that she's coming to, that she came with cancer, and she just couldn't understand. And she's crying out like Habakkuk, crying out to God, why? And she asking questions. She couldn't understand because it was stage four also, and they have a beautiful little girl. Couldn't understand why God had gave them a child, blessed them with a child if she was going to die when her daughter was so young. And she kept, you know, praying about it, praying for a miracle for him, for God to take it away. And God gave her a revelation. It said that we all suffer in this world. It says in his word that we all suffer in this world. And this is what she said to me. These are her words, not mine. She said, so I wasn't going to spend any more time wondering why, when the answer was right in front of me. This world is full of suffering, and in my story, that meant cancer. So she had come to a place of acceptance from a revelation from God that it was going to be okay, that he was with her, that this was part of her story. And she came to that revelation, and she dove into God, closer to God. She didn't push him away, but she reached out for God more. And she, James chapter 1 was a verse that she recited over and over again. I think we have it here on this one. Next slide. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. And this diagram right here is the dip, right? We've kind of looked at that before, the dip in your life. This is your pain and your struggle. And this verse mirrors exactly the story of Habakkuk. It follows this dip. Look, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, it produces perseverance. Let perseverance grow and finish its work so that you may be lacking nothing. That's the dip in our life. And this was come to her by a revelation that it was going to be okay. Now, Rachel is cancer-free now. And she has come to a closeness to God only through pain and struggle, that you could get that close to God, right? And I don't think if you asked Rachel if the experience was something that, you know, she wanted, she would say yes. I'm pretty sure she'd say no. But I can tell you that her husband and her have a joy and a peace about them that is totally amazing. They truly are a bright light to God. Now, I got to have you, you got to understand, her joy didn't come from her diagnosis. It came from her struggle. I mean, the words cancer-free is obviously something to celebrate. But the joy and the peace that they had before that was amazing. See, Rachel had accepted. She accepted that this was part of her story and that God was with her. And that she was going to continue to embrace God through it. She came to a place of acceptance. Now, acceptance isn't giving in or giving up, rolling over, not praying for a miracle. But she wasn't stuck in that valley of why. Why, God, why? Our greatest need isn't information, the answers to our whys, it's revelation. See, these verses in our heart, we have them, we can call on them. When we're connected with God, it helps with embracing Him, right? When you're, you know, the Bible is the only book that reads you while you read it. It could be just reading your Rick Warren devotional, and you've read it 300 times, and the verse just, boom, hits you different than it ever did. And that's a revelation from God. God is speaking to you through His word. It wasn't the knowledge of the whys of God's movements that changed Habakkuk and had him flip a switch. What was it? It was a glimpse of His glory. It was a glimpse of His glory. Did anything change? No. The Babylonians were still coming. They were coming as fierce as wolves and as fast as cheetahs, it says. The consequences didn't change. What changed? Habakkuk. Habakkuk, because when he saw God's glory, it changed the way he viewed his story. And that happens every time. When you see God is involved in your story, it changes the way you see it. When you see that He's involved in your life, it changes the way you work your life. Habakkuk changed. Acceptance doesn't mean we don't pray for a miracle. But the only way that we're going to find peace in any situation is if we accept life on life's terms. And we can see that in verse 16. Verse 16, he says, Habakkuk says, I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. That's not denial. That's reality. He's quivering and shuddering with the revelation that things aren't going to be good. That there may be some people that will die, but I'm going to trust God, and I will wait quietly for what He's got to do. And then after having this revelation and seeing God, he's able to flip a switch. Having this seeing God change his story, he flips a switch. And this is the third thing that Habakkuk's going to teach us. And it's the powerful, it's the beautiful thing of your story that's going to, whatever you're going through. And this is what we can do. Trust what God is going to do. We remember what God has done. We accept what he's doing. And we trust what he's going to do. So verse 17, we've looked at it here a couple weeks. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks died in the fields and the barns are empty, yet, say it with me, I will rejoice in the Lord. Yes, I will rejoice in the Lord and be joyful, God of our salvation. You see what he's saying? Even though the fig tree's got no figs, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Even though there's no animals in the barn, the barns are empty, I will rejoice in the Lord. It may be in your life. Even though my spouse said death do us part and that didn't happen, I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though my kids are making crazy decisions and I don't understand it, I will trust in the Lord. Even though I prayed for this person and they keep getting worse, I will trust in the Lord. That's what Habakkuk is teaching us. I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't understand it, but I will trust in the Lord. The largest pain calls for the loudest praise. And this is where we get to that part, Shigionoth. Shigionoth is a genre of music, you know, like country or hip-hop, right? Rock and roll. Those aren't music. Rock and roll. That's the only music genre we need to know. Well, Shigionoth is a specific type of music. In ancient Hebrew times, a specific type of music that is sung to a victory, with victory and excitement to it. Okay? Victory and excitement. Look at the amplified translation of the verse that we read earlier. That's not on there. But the amplified version translation, that's later. Amplified translation says the song of Habakkuk sung to a triumphant and excitement sound to it. Okay? That's what the translation says in the Bible. It's triumphant and excitement, victory. Now, if you're following the story, that doesn't quite meet the script here. I mean, the Babylonians are coming. Things aren't looking good. I mean, maybe the theme song to Jaws would be better. Na-na-na-na-na, you know? No. Habakkuk's like, we ain't playing none of that. We're going to play some wild and excitement music. We're going to play something with some triumph. Because he knew God was doing some things that nobody else could see. And he turned up the volume and the praise and the worship in his life. And he came through it. And he pressed on. And he sung a song with excitement and enthusiasm. The largest pain calls for the loudest praise. And the more it hurt, the more he was going to sing. Look at Job. Look, what did Job do? You know, he lost everything. He lost his kids. He lost his business. He lost his health. He lost everything. But he turned up the praise in his life. I guess when you're really going through it, you just got to get shiggy with it. Right? You got to get shiggy with it. I mean, the loudest praise can come from the darkest days if you're willing to get shiggy with it. Job did. He said, hey, the Lord taketh away. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to sing with a loud, triumphant, excitement music. And the more it hurts, the louder I'm going to sing. That's what he's saying. But Maddie, my kids are going through drugs. I'm losing my marriage. You got to get shiggy with it. You've got to worship your way through what you're going through. You got to shout out to the Lord with a voice of praise, with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. And the worship team is going to come up here, and we're going to get shiggy with it in a minute. But I've got one last thing that I'm going to end with as they come up. You can clear this out. I've got one last thing that I'm going to end with. The story of Habakkuk tells us this. Scream if you gotta scream, but don't let go. Scream if you gotta scream, but don't let go. Look at that verse that we had up there before. It's from chapter 1. From chapter 1, verse 2. He says, how long will I cry out to you? This is when Habakkuk's crying out to God for the first time, saying, where are you, God? He's saying, how long will I cry out to you and you don't listen? Even cry out to you. See, the first time he says cry, it means sob. The second time he says cry, it means scream. Because he was really hurting. You got to see that. And it is amazing to see the story come full circle when he comes from a sob to a scream to a song, right? The book starts with tears and it ends with triumph. He goes from worrying and wailing and waiting to worshiping. And the book ends and his hands are raised, chaos swirling around him, and he is surrendered to God. praising Him, surrendered to Him. And what God wants you to know is that you have permission to hurt. And we got to understand that this thing called faith that we put up on this shelf, that everything's got to look just nice and peachy on the outside, that we can never question God and never have doubts, that's a bunch of baloney. Because there may be a day that comes in your life that the only thing that you can do for some kind of vent to the pain that you're feeling is scream. And you may feel that God is disappointed with you or appalled by that, but He tells you in this story, scream if you got to scream. Cry if you got to cry. Walk around in old sweatpants for a week eating ice cream out of the jar, out of the box if you have to. Cry if you got to cry, but don't let go of God. Don't run away and hide. Don't try to bury it. The struggle is real. I know there's real pain in this room. I know there's real struggle in this room. But don't run away and hide. We want to bring our pain to the one who can do something about it. The struggle is real, and it's awful tempting to think that we can just bury it, forget about it, put it away, and never bring it back. But let's bring it to the one who can change things, and that's Jesus. And so the question is, do you believe? Do you believe that God is involved in your life, that He has good plans? Come on, Life Church, He loves you. He wants you to see that He is with you through this. The struggle is real, but it's necessary. He's changing us through this. Our lives will be changed for the better if we walk through it with Him. It's too early to quit. It's not a hopeless situation. You're not alone. Do you believe it? Do you believe there is power in the name of Jesus? Yes, Lord. Yes. Well, let's pray. Father God, we come to You in the name of Jesus, and we believe it. We believe that You have good plans for us, God, that You are working in our life. And I know that everyone here that is struggling with pain knows that You're there, and that we want to embrace You, God. Embrace Your goodness. We want to remember what You've done, accept what You're doing, and we can trust what You're going to do, God. You have good plans. I just lift up everyone here in this room in the name of Jesus for blessings over them. Amen.